for your words, and Lord, thank you for our testimonies tonight, and thank you that you're a God that is interested in our lives, and a God that wants to know about us personally, wants us to know about you personally, wants us to walk with you, close to you, fellowship with you. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to not just have a head knowledge, first off, about the Lord Jesus, but a heart knowledge of him. And then not just a head knowledge of how to walk with you, but to know how to walk with you and to experience your presence throughout the day. I mean, we have that promise, but a lot of times our mind and heart is not trusting in those promises. Help us to believe your words in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That phrase, make a joyful noise, is found seven times in the Bible, actually seven times in Psalms. Probably the most popular one that people might know about is Psalms 100, only has five verses. Okay, and it seems kind of funny to make a joyful noise, yelling, screaming, whatnot. But the idea here, when he says, all ye lands, he is not limiting this to the nation of Israel. And what's happening as we read down further, the people are enduring the tribulation time period. And when it's all said and done, he says, make a joyful noise, all ye lands, because now it's over with. It's over. The end. It's a, you know, as far as tribulation is done with, and if you try to help out Israel, you get to go into the millennium, okay, and you should rejoice in that God and make a joyful noise, yelling and screaming. Now, obviously, in anybody who wants to hear a joyful noise, go to any sporting contest. They're not singing, they're yelling, they're screaming, they're hooting and hollering. That's a joyful noise. Now, Americans can hoot and holler all they want, you know, about a football, about a basketball, about a baseball, a guy hits a homie or whatever. But you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and as quiet as could be. Talk about salvation, quiet as could be. Talk about the things of God, don't want to be too fanatical, you know. Okay, but we should make this joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. That'd be the Lord Jesus Christ. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. The terrible works that he's talking about is taking the Antichrist and throwing him into hell, Revelation 19. And all the plagues of the tribulation, and then throwing the devil into hell, Revelation 19. This is the context, because you see at the end of verse 4, see the word? Second coming passage. And I realize that as we're going through the Psalms, it seems like it's a broken record. It seems like it's over and over and over and over. He's talking about the tribulation and the second coming of Christ. It's over all through the Psalms. And the reason why it's through the Psalms like this is because if you take that hymn book and look at some of those songs in that hymn book, and those songs of victory will be written by people who endured great sorrow and came through it. And so they'll write about those songs. They had great victories. Okay, and so they want to praise the Lord for the victories. And so that's what the Psalms is. The Psalms will be the hymn book. Now it's going to be interesting to see the music to it in the millennial time period. Some folks have tried to put music to it, but I would dare say we'll hear the real thing in the millennium. Okay, he says, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Notice thy, reference to God, not you. And notice when you look at our hymn books, how great thou art. And you'll go through that hymn book over and over and over. Those folks in them days when they're writing them songs 150, 200 years ago, they, most of the time, would refer to God as thou, thine, thy, TH singular pronoun. But it also seems to be a respect there. You look at most of the hymns today or the songs that are written today to be you, Not saying it's a hard, fast rule, but just something about you that's different. Of course, that's the gripe against the King James Bible. Those these and thous. I've heard that time and time again. Those these and thous. And those same people who gripe about those these and thous will sit in church and sing, "How great thou art." Okay, they're not going to change some of those. It just doesn't sound right. How great you are. That don't sound right. And so reference to the Lord, thou, how terrible art thou in thy works? Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. That is going to be a good time. I mean, his enemies, they think they're going to have a heyday. They think they're getting away with stuff now. And boy, they sure are running a program, aren't they? Worldwide, they're running a program. The banking institution, the banking cartels, the Illuminati and company, they're right out in our face telling us what they're going to do. I mean, they're not hiding anything. It's right there in front of us. And they're basically daring us to stop them. And if somebody in office, Congress or Senate, is going to get some clout, get some influence, and stop these guys, they'll put a bullet right in his head, unless the Lord stops them. That's the only thing that would stop it. And they'd get away with it, and they'd make it some right-wing extremist took them out, you know, blame some Christian. I mean, they're masters of these things. I mean, they've gotten these folks, this crowd's gotten away with 9/11. Nobody's been executed for that. I mean, ineptness and all that that took place, them things came straight down. That's never, never happened before in history. Never in history has a plane hit a building and a building came down straight like that. Never. First time ever. And they had three of them in one day. And one of those didn't even get hit by a plane. Phenomenal, phenomenal. And if you study about Waco and you study about Oklahoma City bombing, there were two bombs that day. You know, and nobody's ever been punished for those things. Not here on earth. They haven't been executed. Nobody's been punished for it. They're gonna someday. But you see, this crowd, they get away with murder temporarily. And they're rubbing it right in people's face. But the enemy someday are going to submit to Jesus Christ. He's going to make his enemies lick the dust, bite the dust, man. Verse 4, all the earth shall worship thee. Now, obviously, right there, that should be a good clue of the doctrine. What's that noise? The blower down here? Okay. Sounds like a UFO hovering over. Oh, the wine glass trick. Okay, all the earth shall worship thee. As soon as you see something like that, and shall sing unto thee, they shall sing to thy name. Now, that has never happened in history. Never. Okay, now, David, King David brought music to its highest level of glorification of God during his kingdom, but that was only one nation. Okay, that was only one nation that sang glory to God. Our nation at the beginning had a pretty good Christian foundation. But there has never been a time in history where all the nations, all of them, verse 4, all the earth shall worship thee. Never has happened. Gonna be. According to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9, the knowledge of the Lord is going to be covered as the waters cover the seas. Isaiah 11, verse 9. And Habakkuk 2:14, that's spoken of twice in the Bible. There's going to be a day, someday, when the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the whole world like the waters covers the sea. Boy, the sooner the better on that. Okay, so you got seal at the end of verse 4, second coming. The most important doctrine in the Bible. The day when the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified. Verse 5, come and see. Come and see. Does that little phrase ring a bell any place else in the Bible? Come and see. Where? Come and see the man that was, in whom there's no guile? Anything good come out of Israel? John, I think what you're thinking of, John. I don't know if it's come and see there. John 1. John 1:43. Now Philip Bethsaida, Philip findeth Nathanael. We have found him of whom Moses law, the prophet. And Nathanael said, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, come and see. John 1:46. There's that one. Anybody else remember hearing a come and see? Revelation, what I was thinking of. Revelation 6, where they have them, where the four beasts say, come and see, come and see. So you got one, come and see the Messiah, John 1. You got one, come and see the judgments of the Messiah. Revelation 6, you got it, verse 1 at the end. Seems like it occurs more than that. Verse 3 at the end. Verse 7 at the end. So come and see, come and see. Get to see for yourself. Seeing is believing, they say. Okay, Psalm 66:5. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. Notice terrible, terror. Isn't it interesting that these days terror is the catchword to cite fear? Terrorism, the war on terrorism. Ha, ha, ha. Okay, but there it is. That's the famous words. And so the real terror is coming when Jesus Christ comes back. Okay, verse 6. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. Obviously, the we and the they is Israel. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. That's what we're seeing, is rebellious exalting themselves. They hate God, care less about God. They hate you and me. They hate Christians. They hate the truth of God's word. They don't want to hear anything about him. And they're exalting themselves. United Nations and company is exalting themselves. Verse 8, O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life. Our Israel doctrinally here, but still the idea, he holdeth our soul. In Acts 17, he mentions holding our breath is in his hands. He holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Okay, and then 1 Peter 1:7, that when your faith is tried, it should come forth as gold. Now, the us and the we, it's understood, you know, from the context, that's the nation of Israel. Okay, but yet, in verse 10, when he says, thou, O God, this is a real trial they're going through, and they're proving, and he's trying them as silver is tried in fire. 11, thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. What net? Well, it says in Jeremiah 5 that the men catch men in cages. Verse 12, unusual verse. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place. How do men ride over your heads? What are they riding over your head? They're sitting down, riding something, and it goes over your head. It's a prophecy in the Old Testament. Second coming prophecy. What do people do when they get in an airplane? They're writing over your head. It's an Airbus. Okay, and so it's above the clouds. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. Now, if he would have said, you know, it's a United Airlines, nobody would have understood that. Riding over their heads, probably had that prior to the flood. I dare say that they were far more advanced prior to the flood than we are today. I mean, come on, think about it. If you got 30 years on a job today, that's quite a bit of experience, right? That is just a beginner before the flood. I mean, a job long tenure before the flood, you're talking 200, 300, 400 years when they lived to be 900 years old. They're talking a long time. Plus, you had the sons of God walking on the earth, and they enlightened people with their vast technology. I would dare say they're a lot more advanced than we think they were. Okay, here he took an amateur to build a boat, and it survived the flood, and the professionals built the boat and said God couldn't sink it, and he sunk it with a little ice cube up north. Okay, and that's God. You know, when some guy, somebody said, even God can't sink it, that's about like God said, watch this. Watch this. And all I had was a little ice, you know, berg, take it down. And, you know, that's the Lord. That's about like saying, sick 'em. Okay, verse 13, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. These are the Judaistic sacrificial vows, religious rites that they have, with which my lips have uttered and my mouth have spoken when I was in trouble. Okay, there's a typical thing. Okay, foxhole religion, they call that. Okay, when a person gets in trouble and they cry out to God, if you get me out of this mess, you know, I will. Okay, and God gets them out of the mess and they forget. But God doesn't forget. Okay, and so those vows, those uttered statements that a person makes, they better follow through on them, because the Lord will bring back right on them, get their attention again. So verse 14, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Doctrinally, this trouble is Jacob's trouble. The cross references, if you've run it, at the W, trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7, that's the occurrence of the word Jacob's trouble. Daniel 12, 1, that's called the time of trouble with Michael the archangel. Nahum, that's where the Lord will be a stronghold in your day of trouble. Okay, then Matthew 24 is understood, you know, that's the great tribulation. Matthew 24, verse 21, reference to the great tribulation. It's a time of trouble. Trouble that man has never seen on earth. It's beyond human imagination, this trouble. Verse 15, I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings. Okay, fatlings, we think of fat, but yet fatlings in the Bible is the best. It's the best animal. Okay, with the incense of rams, I will offer bullocks with goats. And then there's that word, Selah. Now, of course, this don't apply to us because we're in Jesus Christ. We're born again believers. Okay, we have spiritual sacrifices mentioned in Philippians 4. These are literal sacrifices. Okay, and then you got the word Selah. Verse 16, come and hear. Earlier it was come and see, now it's come and hear. All ye that fear God, and I would declare what he hath done for my soul. Now that idea of fearing God because of God's terrible works. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7 mentions an everlasting gospel. Okay, and in that everlasting gospel that's mentioned there, is the idea of fearing God. Revelation 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory unto him. Okay, you and I ought to fear a being that speaks this world into existence. Who are you and I to fuss, you know, with a being that can speak this world into existence? And that being limits himself to what he has said in his word. If he did not, and you and I smarted off to him, then he would just go to hell, and you'd go to hell that fast. Now, praise the Lord, in the New Testament, we have eternal security. I still wouldn't advise cursing God, getting mad at him about things, but yet we do. We get mad at God, okay? And this is a being that created the Son by spoken word. And so we ought to fear him. This idea of fearing God is basically the driving motive of people during the tribulation time period who will take care of the Jewish folks from their trouble and anguish. And the ones who fear God and the ones who help the Jewish people as they run through the world, you know, trying to survive, are the ones that will go into the millennium. That's the criteria. Okay, the criteria for the judgment of a nation is strictly how they treated the Jews. Psalm 66, verse 17, I cried unto him with my mouth. Okay, mentioned this several times through the Psalms. It's a verbal prayer to God. Not audible, it's verbal. It's a verbal yelling and screaming. It's crying out to God, asking for his help. Cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. He listened. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Rule of thumb, Old Testament doctrine. Okay, does that mean he doesn't hear us? He hears us, but the idea of hearing here is not considering it. Okay, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if there is sin, iniquity in my heart, you can pray all you want, and God is not going to consider what you prayed. Why? Because iniquity is separating you between God, even though he's promised us he'll never leave us, forsake us, but there's a fellowship there that is hindered. Verse 19, he says, but verily God hath heard me, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Okay, that's 66. 67, short one. Should we be able to get this? God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Who's us? Who's us? Anybody? What would be a good guess if you don't know? Israel would be a good guess, and you look at the context and it is Israel. Apostate Israel or believing Israel? Well, it's obvious they have to be believing Israel. Apostate Israel, they're too busy running the Illuminati, the bankings. You know, somebody sent me, I don't know if somebody's researched this, but somebody, a fellow out in California, wrote, and he said, do you believe this story? Where it said Israeli intelligence are the ones who created the Hamas. Anybody heard that one? Jeremy, you hear that one? You hear that? I wrote him back, said, wouldn't surprise me, but I have no way to verify it, which we don't. None of us has no way of verifying these things. Okay, but you say, how can that be? Very easy. When the Bolshevik Revolution took over Soviet Union, there was like 360 members of the Bolshevik Party. Over 300 were Jews, apostate Jews. What did they do? They killed a bunch of Jews. Stalin killed about 6 million Jews. There's nothing new under the sun. The Jews killed their Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Jew. You see? And so there's nothing to do with surprise about that. Okay, but in this context, God be merciful unto us, nation of Israel, believing remnant, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. And there's that word, second coming. Restoration of the nation of Israel. It's going to be an amazing thing. And in fact, the funny thing about it, the Lord, when he speaks about this, he says, the Holy One of Israel, just to let these pretended Palestinians who's really in charge. To be doctrinal about it, so a Palestinian is a Jew in the land of Palestine. That's who's supposed to be there. Okay, but even at that, in this context, this is God blessing the nation of Israel, and that's an amazing thing. There's nobody can explain why a little country gets the attention it gets. Now, it's going to get so much attention, if you were looking at Zechariah chapter 12, it's going to get so much attention in the tribulation time period that people will get sick of it. They will be fed up with Israel, and because it'll be all over the news broadcast, you know, oh, they're fighting here, you know, we got the Muslim, you know, Dome of the Rock here, and they're putting a Jewish temple here, and you've got the Holy Church of the Sepulchre of the, you know, Holy Church there, you know, and Catholic, you got Muslims, you got Jews all right there, and they're all going to be fussing and fighting, and everybody's going to be talking about it. And one thing the news media does is they keep harping on something, keep harping on something, and finally people just say, forget it, I don't want to hear it anymore. That's what they did about Clinton and his fornication. Just kept it in front of people, and finally people say, I don't want to hear it. Gas is 80 cents a gallon. I like the way it is. You know, economy. That's all they're interested in. Zechariah 12, verse 3, and in that day, will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people? It's a burden to them. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. If they catch anybody trying to help the Jews or trying to benefit somebody in Jerusalem, the Antichrist is going to have them cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Everybody's going to be sick of it. And notice it in verse 3, in that day. Okay, in that day, that's the second coming. Everybody's against Jerusalem. They're coming in to blow it off the map, and they forget to look up. And here comes the Lord Jesus Christ, and he blows them off the map. The example of that, Zechariah 14:12. Some sort of nuclear radiation just makes these guys melt right on the spot. Zechariah 14:12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. That's some special effects. Okay, Psalm 67, verse 1, cause thy face to shine upon us. That same phrase you'll find back in, I think it's Deuteronomy, about God shining on them. Okay, no, Numbers I got there. Verse 2, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Worldwide. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Second coming, there's that word again. The judge the people righteously. That judgment is called the judgment of the nations. I probably got the cross reference there. G, letter G, Joel 3, that's good enough. Joel 3 is one of them. Matthew 25 is the other one. Two places. If you go to Joel 3, you'll see a cross-reference going over to Matthew 25. And that's the judgment of the nations when he puts the sheep on one side, the goats on another side, and then the goats go to hell and the sheep go into the millennium. What determines the difference is that they tried to help out the righteous during the tribulation. Okay, that's the judgment of the nations. The Lord is going to judge righteously. Okay, verse 5, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Worldwide. The idea of the earth yielding its fruit or increase. It says that the reaper or the sower will overtake the reaper. Okay, where now if you plant corn or beans or whatnot, you know, you put them in May. Take them out October, okay, one time a year. Where in a millennium, it's going to be beginning of spring, end of spring. Beginning of summer, end of summer. Beginning of fall, end of fall. Beginning of winter, end of winter. The sower is going to overtake the reaper four times in a year. And the crop is going to be... That one is Revelation 21, if I do remember right. I don't think so. Revelation's New Heaven, New Earth. 22:2. Is that the one?